When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by the Inspire Collection by Kalia. Just because you're working out doesn't mean you shouldn't look fabulous. The Inspire Collection by Kalia was designed with both style and performance in mind. It looks good, feels good, and stays put no matter how you move. And the collection has everything you need for a day at the gym. A support bra, crop tanks, bike shorts, amazing leggings, and more. It's their most versatile collection yet. Shop the Inspire Collection by Kalia now, exclusively at Dick's Sporting Goods.
Hello, I'm Josh Widdicombe.
And I'm Rob Beckett.
Welcome to Lockdown Parenting Hell, the show in which Rob and I discuss what it's like to be a parent during lockdown, which I would say can be a little tricky. So, in an effort to make some kind of sense of the current situation...
and to make me feel better about my increasingly terrible parenting skills...
each episode we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how well they're coping.
Or hopefully not.
And we will be hearing from you, the listener, with your tales of lockdown parenting woe.
Because, let's be honest, none of us know what we're doing.
Hello and welcome to Lockdown Parenting Hell with...
Rob Beckett.
Oh,
that's a lovely one. That's Finley saying our names. Four-year-old Finley. His mum, Abby, has sent this in. And I'm laughing, but I feel so bad for these people. This is my four-year-old Finley saying your names. He was supposed to start school yesterday and couldn't because he got struck down by the bloody virus last week. So after all these months counting down the days, I could send him off. I still now have him at home until he recovers.
Oh, heartbreak.
Abby, my heart goes, I cannot express how much of my heart has gone out to you there.
Yeah.
That is, I think everyone listening, also as well, poor old Finley, it's his new school and stuff like that. So he'll be starting a bit later, but I'm sure it'll be absolutely fine. I moved schools first couple of years and stuff. So it will be fine. Abby, hopefully he's better already. I think he's better already, but he's got to wait a certain number of days
to go back in. That is absolutely
heartbreaking. Poor Abby, she's had lockdown, school holidays, and now poor old Finley has got to stay out of school for another couple of weeks.
Do you know what? Full credit to Abby for taking him for the test in that situation.
And not
just keeping it to herself. That is a very noble decision.
I think, don't quote me on this. I don't think that gets you out of it, does it? But actually, do quote me on it. I genuinely think I would have been tempted to just send him in for a week, get his feet under the table, go, he is, now you say it, he is a bit hot, isn't he? And he was just spooning in English mustard without any taste. So, I'll probably take him for a test. But well done, Abby, for doing the right thing.
Yeah, well done for doing the right thing.
Brutal, but please let us know how Finley gets on, because I'd like to know how he got on with his first day at school so we can follow this whole story through, Abby. Thank you very much. Anyway, Josh, how are you?
Shall I tell you about my play date? So yes. I set this up, didn't I?
You've been hooking up with new guys, haven't you?
Hooking up with new guys. It went well, Rob. It was good.
Nice.
It was a genuine success.
So this is the person who goes... So your daughter's friend at preschool, you...
Daughter's friend at nursery,
Approached the parent.
Approached the parent via text. Met up with them in the park.
Nice.
And within, I'd say... 5 minutes, my daughter had fallen over quite badly and grazed her knee.
Oh, okay. Yeah. How are you when they fall over, right? Because I'm almost to the point where I feel like I'm a bit heartless because kids will cry. You've got to be like, no, get up, you're all right. Are you one of those ones?
The worst thing you can do is go, oof, or...
that looked bad.
Yeah. Oh, my God, no.
Are you all right?
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Yeah, that's what you can't do.
Are you sure? It looked really bad. That looked like it really hurt. Are you okay?
I think you've just got to let them lead the emotion in that situation.
And then try and like dampen the flames, as it were.
Yeah, I don't think, I would never be like, I imagine Roy Keane would be with his child.
Do you
know what I mean? He'd be like, fucking man up.
Get up. Get up,
Ryan. Come on.
It's only two stitches. Walk it off.
So then you'd occasionally get glances of the knee when she was going up a ladder and it looked bad, but we're like, we've got to carry on with the play date. Yeah. And this, we've come this far. It'd be awful to leave after 5 minutes. The knee was fine in the end. It was great. Do you know what? She got on with the other child very well indeed.
Oh, that's good. And they're local, are they? They're around the corner?
Well, they're moving away, so the whole thing was totally pointless.
Oh, no! Oh, that's a pain, isn't it?
It is a pain, but there you go. That's life. It's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. And she had that one play date, and now she's back to having no mates.
Yes. Yeah.
So then, it's her birthday in a few weeks. We got in touch with our friend that does children's birthdays.
Yeah.
And we were like, let's do this. Looking forward to it. Within 12 hours, the maximum of 6 people had been announced. Birthday abandoned.
Oh, no.
By that point, obviously, we discussed it with her, what she wanted.
This is a nightmare.
Absolute disaster. Birthday abandoned.
Oh, and you mentioned it to her as well?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, Josh, this is a terrible turn of events. What was you planning?
Well, we were planning... It's the middle of October, so it was a difficult... And we were obviously worried about, you know... People being worried about COVID.
Yeah.
So we were going to do something outside, but with an indoor option in case it was pissing with rain.
Fair enough. Okay.
But now the dream is dead, mate.
Can't you? Oh, no, because they're too young. As I say, she could have a few people over, but then you can't.
Well, really maximum of 6. We're 3. So.
Oh, yeah. Do you have to be there?
I'll take one for the team.
I mean, I always take one for the team when it comes to kids' parties.
The worst case scenario would be that the 3 children are dropped off and the parents leave so that we're 6, but we've got 4 children to look after.
But I think that's what some people do when they get older. They just leave the kids.
No.
Yeah, that's what happens.
When would you leave a child at a birthday party?
I reckon from now, really, from them starting primary school, so 5.
Imagine holding a birthday party, 20 children, none of them yours except 2.
Well, I think that's what happens because they're used to being in a group together. And obviously, so everyone sort of knows everyone because they're all at the school. So that's what I'm picking up on is that going forward, the party thing will be, right, here's my kid. I'll pick them up at 4 o'clock.
Do you think it's worth it? The one party you have to do a year, which would be hell on earth.
Yeah.
Is that worth it for the 19 other weekends when you get to drop your child off?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Do you know what they do in Denmark? So I've read this book about having kids in Denmark. It's called A Year of Living Danishly. It's really good. Yeah. Helen Russell, but I read it. Someone said to me, how do you feel about your daughter starting school? And fine, really. Yeah, quite chilled. But I realised I'd read this book about raising kids in Denmark in 2 days in an absolute subconscious panic worry hell.
And so why? What's the book about raising kids in Denmark?
Well, I've always wanted to live abroad and I always wanted to. I love Copenhagen. I thought it would be quite a cool place to live. And they've got an amazing welfare system and stuff. And it's really just like a nice place
to
live.
Very progressive country.
Yeah. So I'm a big fan of Denmark and Copenhagen. But this book kind of just sort of popped up. And she also does listen to this show, the author, Helen Russell.
I'll get her on.
So I think we should get her on because the way they do schooling is so madly different and childcare. And what they do is kids are normally in childcare, like on state-sponsored childcare can be 6 months if you want, like, and go off and that, and all the way through till school. And what they do is for kids' parties is they go, right, it's your daughter's party, so we are bringing the whole class to your house at midday for 1 hour. And then in that hour, you play a game, they have some cake, they have something to eat, they put balloons on, boom, 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 and then the teacher takes them away. So you can set it all up, they're there for an hour, and then the teacher... So it's just done, bang, and then you keep the weekends to yourself.
Oh,
and that's
nice.
A good plan, isn't it?
Yeah, that is good. Oh, my God, but how slow that hour will feel.
Come on, Josh, it's only an hour, it'll be fun, wouldn't it?
It's only an hour. We've all thought that when we're sat watching something that's long and an hour and rubbish.
And also, you're never going to like them all, just by probability.
No, of course not.
If you've got 30 people in your house and like you're not picked, they just all decide to go to that school, there's got to be a good percentage that you would hate. Some that are okay, some you like. And you can't, you know, and you can't show that emotion, can you? You're not allowed cake because I think you're going to be a bitch at 14.
And what about like other parents are going to have rules on sugar and all that kind of stuff?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, but anyway, that's how they do it in Denmark. But I've realised I do want to raise my children in Denmark, but I'm 6 years too late.
I also think it would have an impact on your career if you're having to commute from Copenhagen.
Yeah, but I'd be so cool though, wouldn't I? I'd just turn up my little Scandi glasses. I'd probably be thin because they're all thin. I think you just catch it, don't you, in like Scandinavia. I think you, it's like COVID. You just catch thin and tall.
Imagine if you turned into a kind of Scandinavian heartthrob.
Imagine being 6'2". It'd be too much, wouldn't it? If I was 6'3", it would be too much to take, I think. There's too much of me at this height.
It would be a bit much if you were like, if you looked like Tom Davis, it would just get a bit too, it would just get a bit too much.
Because it's a bit much already. But imagine, like, I'm sort of like energy and like in your face, like, but this, imagine being like looming over you, like this absolute bulk.
But is this, your personality that you're trying to make up for your small kind of, I mean, I don't want to compare you, but like people always say about Napoleon being very short.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm trying to make up for. Would I still be funny if I looked like Thor? This is how you can get in touch.
Do you want some emails, Rob?
Oh, please. It's the Lockdown Parenting Mailbag. But it's actually emails and there's no bag.
Right.
Before that, do you think there'll be another thing that comes in to replace emails?
What?
You know, like,
is this turned into tomorrow's world?
I'm just saying.
Can emails get any quicker?
The thing slowing them down is the person writing them.
Dictation will happen. No one's doing dictation at the moment, are they? You'd have to be mad to be doing that.
Well, I'd love to be able to just think something and it appeared in Word.
I would absolutely hate that. That would be one of the worst things that could ever happen.
Really? Why?
Because you'd leave it on and it would just start putting up your thoughts and it'd be...
Yeah, like, bit of work. Oh, it's a funny parenting idea. Yeah. They've gone out, actually. Maybe I can pop upstairs quickly.
And then you'd like, the email would forward on or something. You'd for a piss and you'd be caught in your own thoughts and then you'd come back and you'd just send all your piss thoughts to your agent.
I should definitely carry on cutting out wheat because my arse is in pieces. Have you heard back about Live at the Apollo? Also, I've got to tell you this before we do emails. I went and did some filming in Huddersfield last week and I stayed in this hotel that was completely empty. Yeah, I met up with Alex Brooker on one of the evenings. No one in the hotel apart from me. I was the only, and they went to, what time do you want breakfast? I went, when can I have it? They went, whenever you want, you're the only one here, right? And then I found out, listen to this headline. Huddersfield Hotel transformed into UK's first coronavirus care home in 3 weeks. The UK's first Nightingale care home to help the surge in vulnerable people amidst the coronavirus pandemic has opened in a hotel in West Yorkshire. And it was just me.
Wow.
Anyway, but lovely breakfast. Cool, they could knock out an egg, I'm telling you. If I stayed there as an older person, I would have loved those eggs. But it was all good. Should we crack on and stop talking about coronavirus?
Should we get some Macy Gray on? Okay. You asked for stories of siblings born close together. This is from Jane Crockett. My brother-in-law had a colleague in the US. This colleague and his wife were unable to get pregnant, so they decided to use a surrogate. The woman who was a surrogate got pregnant. 3 months later, the colleague's wife found out that she was also pregnant. The couple's siblings are therefore 3 months apart.
Oh my God. So it's 3 months age difference. So it's basically twins.
Imagine having a child and thinking there's another one on the way in 3 months.
Oh my God. Oh, no. I mean, I think that... is that better or worse than twins? I think it's better because one will be a bit more stable and settled, but you've got to do it all again just so close after. You always want to do it in one blast.
There is... I know people with twins would dispute this, obviously. There is the advantage with twins. Every night, you're getting through two bad nights. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and also as well, you've not got to have the stress of another labour because they are stressful. Yeah, you know, like, exactly. God, is it all right?
Okay, this is from Claire Hunt. I just wanted to let you know about the gap between my first and second babies. They are 10 and a half months apart.
Oh, right, okay, so this is the record so far for the, from the same woman.
Basically, when my son was 11 weeks old, a time in which they had not stopped crying and slept no more than 2 hours, I discovered I was 6 weeks pregnant.
Fuck off!
People are animals, Rob. No offence, Claire Hunt.
Claire Hunt!
Every week between the middle of September and the end of October, my son and daughter are the same age. I'd like to tell you what the first 2 years were like, but they're a total blur.
You're shagging all the time, probably.
That was 4 years later. Well, you're not going to believe this. So have you got any thoughts on that one, Rob?
When are you allowed to have sex after you give birth? Because we're currently up to 5.5 years in my house.
I'm going to... I've said this to my friend, right? And I don't believe this is true, but this is what a midwife told him. He said...
Also, do not get too graphic about it. It obviously depends on how traumatic or not traumatic...
Of course.
There's a cesarean or if there's stitches needed, I think it's probably the most delicate way to put it, that it does put you out of the game for a little while, doesn't it? So
It also depends.
You can't judge...
No, well, I'm not judging, but it also depends how knackered and ruined your life is.
Some people have more stamina than others. Some people have more robust vaginas. That's just the way of life. So we cannot judge, can we, Josh?
That's how you end your stand-up tour show as well, isn't it, with that speech?
Yeah. That's just a part of life. Some people have more robust vaginas than other people's.
My name's Rob Beckett. Keep supporting live comedy. Good night.
Good night. Stay safe.
My friend, I told this to...
Am I allowed to say Robust Vaginas as a cis man?
Yeah, it's one of my favourite bands, the Robust Vaginas.
That'd be a great band name, wouldn't it?
It would be good.
What do you reckon their fans would call them for short? Because Biffy Clyro are called Mon the Biff, isn't it?
Right,
so what would the Robust Vagina call themselves?
I think we should leave this conversation just as...
The R badge.
The R badge.
Should we leave this conversation? I feel like you're a bit uncomfortable with my Robust Vagina.
Well, you're not going to believe what I'm about to tell you.
Oh, no.
From my friend.
Go on.
Our midwife... I told him this and he said, our midwife told us she once delivered the baby, spent about an hour doing all the checks, put the baby in the cot, left the room, came back 5 minutes late and the parents were humping.
No.
That cannot be true. That is not correct use of a hospital bed.
I mean, there's robust vaginas and there's robust vaginas. I don't think that's human.
That is unbelievable. And to the point where I actually don't believe it. So if you've got children that are closer together than 10 and a half months. Then,
yeah. I mean, that couple, I mean, you can't get pregnant an hour after giving birth, can you? I don't think everything's back in order then, is it?
I don't think you can.
From a science perspective. Because that would be an literally bang on 9 months. So yeah, 10 and a half months, that's the winner so far.
I mean, that is unbelievable. Do you want to hear some more stuff that isn't about this?
Let's move on from the age gap.
I feel I have to email to discuss Rob's opinion on the name Agnes.
Okay, yep.
Please find attached a photo of my toddler. Her name is Agnes.
Oh.
Though I do not hold authority on baby names, I can assure you Agnes is very much still used in the 21st century. Side note, and my partner has warned me against revealing this, she was 6 weeks early and we hadn't firmed up a name for her. Given her sudden arrival, we panicked and named her after our dog.
Oh, no. So the dog is called Agnes as well?
Yeah.
I think that's weird, isn't it? I'm sorry.
I can't wait for her to ask why she's called Agnes when she grows up.
Well, how old's the dog? If the dog's 16, yeah? And then, you know, but by the time, you know, Agnes, the human, grows up, the dog will be gone. So it won't be really an issue. But to have them in the same house for a long period...
Well, it says they've had the dog put down for the very reason of the name. No, I'm joking.
We've killed the dog. Agnes, okay, yeah. Well, that. I wonder if there's any parents listening that regret the name of their child.
Oh, yeah. Send them in.
That's got to be.
Send them in. She's a very cute little child. The photo, she's a very cute little Agnes.
Oh.
I'm starting to fully get on board with it as a name. I won't be using it.
It's a lovely name. I'm sure she's a cute little kid, doing a bit of cross-stitch, going down the bridge club, do you know what I mean? Getting a bits and bobs in order. You know, loves VE Day. I've got a quick IVF email, and I can't remember who it was from, but it really made me laugh, that said there was a fan in the room, and he couldn't concentrate because every time he nearly got there, the fan went on him and it put him off.
Oh my God.
Like a cold breeze on his bum. And it was in the old deposit room.
Let's cut to the chase, Rob. You got any salty emails?
We have actually. It gets quite a lot of saltiness coming in here. It's a very unsalty Josh, which I'm not a fan of, really.
I haven't told you about my salty incident.
Oh, go on.
So I got started on in the park.
Right, yeah, come on. Sorry. You're all right, though.
Have I not told you this?
No, but no, I'm already laughing.
So I was there with my personal trainer, right?
Sorry. I don't know. Every sentence gets funnier. Go on. But what exercise are you doing as I come over?
What was I doing? Chin-ups.
Chin-ups, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, press-ups. So that kind of stuff. There's a little bit of equipment, but we weren't totally using it. We were kind of... in and about that area. And then we did like a rep on one thing. Mm-hmm. And then you know how you go off and you do like another set and then you come back to use it.
Yeah.
And he was on there. And we were like, oh, can we use that after you? And he totally flipped.
Really? It
was
just talk me through the bloke who started on you. Can you give us a
description? So he was big. He was a big bloke.
Age?
Probably about 40. He was doing, you know, when big, strong people in the gym are doing stuff to try and impress other people to show them how strong they are, like doing really fast press ups and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And I'd say his...
What's his body shape like?
What's his body shape like?
Yeah.
Like a triangle.
Not as big as The Rock, but bigger than Jason Statham.
He lacked The Rock's charisma and charm.
Yeah. Right, so yeah, he's on your bit of equipment.
I'd say his personal skills were similar to... if you imagine someone who's come back from Vietnam and they've seen stuff that's happened and they've never really recovered from it. That kind of hair trigger that he was on. So he just flipped. It was one of the strangest things. Like flipped, like angry, like 1 a.m. outside a kebab shop in a parochial town anger.
Oh, no.
It was so mad.
How big's your personal trainer, though?
She is about the size of me.
So it's an unfair fight. He's bigger than both of you. Okay,
he's bigger than both of us.
Yeah.
And it would have felt unfair for me to tell my personal trainer that she had to fight him.
You've got the best engine, so why don't you go first, tire him out, then I'll headbutt him after.
So anyway, he just flipped.
Yeah.
Right, and he was like, he was ranting, and he was so mad. And he was like, I'm using the equipment, right? And then I just calmly said to him, what's this really about?
Oh, no! You done him!
I was really pleased with it.
Oh, and he
was
that like, must
this
have
is
been...
about the equipment, mate. It was like so mad. We basically got bullied off the equipment. We had to leave. We got bullied off the equipment. When we left, he said, "Watch out if I see you around here again." It was absolutely mad.
It feels like you're a new school teacher in an inner city school, and you're getting bullied by the kids at the start.
Also, it was 9:30 in the morning. What's happened in his day so far?
Oh, no.
It was one of the maddest things
I've
ever experienced. But it did make me think, is he just a listener who's trying to get a salty, is this going to come in on email?
Yeah. I think that you're as well within your rights to be salty there, Josh.
I was totally within my rights. I've never, ever in my life to be bullied off a piece of equipment at the age of 37. I was bullied in the park, Rob, by the bigger boy at the age of 37.
It never stops, does it?
It never stops.
Oh, Josh. Well done for, like, standing up for yourself, because you don't want to have a fight with him.
And I was really pleased with asking what it was really about. I hope that when he closes his eyes at night, he's really going to have a think about that.
Would you want some unsalty, Josh? I can see you've had a bit of salty. Well, this is a nice message about you, Josh. We've got a listener here, Terry Smith. Sounds like a made-up name. Terry Smith. I think I worked with him. Anyway, he said he likes the podcast, blah, 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 blah. I just want to share a very unsalty Josh story from a few years ago when he started off his tour in Oxford back in 2015, opening night. It was my birthday around the day at the show, and I was looking forward to seeing it. To be honest, Terry, that doesn't help this message. No one cares, but happy birthday anyway. You know, people do that. People go, it was my birthday actually at the time. No one cares, mate. Do you know what I mean? You're a grown person. Does anyone care about birthdays? Do you care about your birthday, Josh?
No, I try not to, no.
To be fair, I'm going to apologise to Terry here. I've just got a chip on my shoulder because my birthday's 2nd of January and it is the worst birthday in the world. So I've never had a birthday.
Whereas Terry,
really.
that would have been a lovely
early
September. That's a great date.
Great day. Kids are back in school. Go out on all day. Let someone else pick them up. Anyway, he was at the gig. There was a message came out and basically there was a power cut and you couldn't go ahead with the show. Yep. And you got on the mic, Mr. Unsalty Josh Widdicombe, and apologised to everyone that the show couldn't go ahead because of the lack of power. However, you bought everyone who had a ticket that night a drink from the bar.
Did I?
Well, yeah, I mean...
That's a regret now. But yeah, I did do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's only a 28 capacity, that venue.
It was one bottle of wine.
No, that's a big gig in Oxford. That's a lot of drinks, John. That's probably about 1,000 people, isn't it, that gig?
No, it was a while ago, though, Rob. So it wasn't the one I did this time. No, it was the one in between the Glee and the big one. It was about 600 or 700, maybe.
You bought 700 drinks? Oh, Josh.
I think, I'm going to be honest, I think the theatre did them for me at cost price.
Oh, okay. Well, to be fair, like...
That's still a lot.
You're looking at around 1,500 quid there, Josh. Yeah. So, well played. That's very kind
Thank
of you.
You. I remember leaving that gig and bumping into an audience member in the street, and they were so delighted with their free drink. The implication was that they preferred the free drink to the potential of seeing the show.
Well, I mean, I just think, do you know what? You didn't have to do that. That was just a problem at the venue. If anything, the venue should have, because it's not your problem if the electric goes, you know.
No.
So if anything, but you and the venue.
It was on the whole street. The whole street had gone down, Rob.
You bought it for the whole street. Josh.
Have I ever told you my other free drink story, which I didn't buy? So me and James Acaster in a train crash. Oh, yeah. So it was the night of the Leicester comedy thing.
Oh, yeah. Bring this up. The time you beat me in a comedy competition, Josh Whittaker.
Anyway,
even though you've been going 2 years longer than me. And it was a
let's not get involved in it.
I'm fine with it. I'm over it.
Yeah, of course.
Dan Bland came second.
Dan Bland, yeah.
He beat me.
He was not up for doing this podcast with me, but I'm glad you did it. But
lovely fella, Dan Bland, and he was deadpan as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, I wasn't there in time for his set because I had been in the...
Oh, yeah, big Whittaker, turned up late, had already done a bit
my
of telly.
My trainer derailed. My trainer I hadn't
Likely
already done a bit
story.
Of telly. My trainer derailed. Terrifying derailing.
Yep.
Could have lost me and James Acaster. I mean, the podcasting community. You and Ed Gamble would be currently top of the podcast charts together.
I would have earned in panel shows if you two got knocked on the head back in 2011. Can you imagine it? I'd be buying drinks for everyone all the time.
So we got derailed. 4 hours we had to sit there. Then we got taken off the train. We had to get walked to the other train, which took an hour. And we got on the next train and they came round and they had the little trolley and they were like, you can have one thing free off it.
Oh.
And a guy took a Stella off it and he turned to his wife and he went, this is amazing, isn't it? And I was like, are you fucking kidding me, mate? 5 hours, you've got one free Stella. And that's how much people are willing. Rob, if you split up with Lou but offered her a free drink, she'd take it, mate. People don't give a shit. The moment there's a free drink sniffing around.
Well, do you know what? I've got the train up to when I went to Huddersfield, right? I got the train up and it was they booked me first class travel, which is very kind of them, the production company. On the train, yeah, they come around. Normally, if you go first class, you pay more because obviously there's better seats and stuff and you get food and drink, don't you? During the week, it's like free booze, right? That's part of the deal. Anyway, so I got on there and went, oh, yeah, it's a limited menu because of COVID. I was like, okay, fair enough. She went, so you can have tea, coffee, water and crisps or biscuits. I was like, I've not gone to my fucking nan's house. They spent about 300 quid on this train ticket. Why can't they put a beer or a little bottle of wine in the same time as they put the water in? Why can't you have a sandwich? What kind of Corona is going to get in a sandwich? Why can't I have a sandwich?
I think what they've done there is they shouldn't have said limited menu. They should have said, we're not doing food.
There's no menu. It's just still water or tea and coffee. But sure, anyway, I think it's an opportunity to save money, isn't it? But yeah, that's what I found ridiculous. Salty. Do you want any more salties?
Yeah.
Oh, I've got another one here. So they came down to London for a little touristy trip in 2018 around Christmas time. Anyway, they was on the tube and he says, I couldn't help but notice what appeared to be the one and only Josh Whittaker seated and alone, but for some reason wearing a pair of bedraggled Converse All-Stars that he'd probably bought off a hobo outside the station.
Unbelievable.
You do wear scruffy clothes, Josh.
I wear scruffy trainers.
Can I tell you something, right, about my parents and their opinion of you? And I don't want you to take this to heart. They love you. They think you're really funny. They always ask for tickets to come and see you. They watch your DVDs, but they say, he always looks a bit grubby.
Unacceptable.
They think you look a bit messy and a bit dirty.
I'm going to be honest with you. Since lockdown, your parents have got a point. I reckon my showering has decreased by 50%.
No, but on the telly this is. And I do you know what I think it is? Because you're not a dirty person. You're not a smelly person. Because there are comics like that. Everyone tries to avoid. But your trainers, you need to keep them in better nick for telly.
I don't want to look like Jay-Z. Like I've gone box fresh.
I'll stop you there. You'll never look like Jay-Z. So don't worry about that. But if you, I think you just need some TV trainers because I
do that, Rob. I do that. I have my pair of TV trainers.
They're not clean enough. Josh, working class people like nice shoes and trainers on people. It might look like you've put an effort in, yeah? So I did Sunday night at the Palladium, and Roisin Connolly texted me, went, my mum can't stop talking about you. I went, oh, really? She's like my stand-up. She went, well, yeah, she didn't really mention the stand-up. She just kept on saying, oh, we had a lovely pair of shoes on. Such lovely, shiny shoes. So I think it's your shoes.
So the last leg's back mid-October, first episode, I'm going to be in a pair of box fresh trainers.
Yes.
Tune
and
in.
Do you know what? I'm going to say to my mum, did you watch it? And I reckon they'll go, oh, yeah, you look lovely.
I think that's the key. Let's test it.
So this is from, and this has been brought up by someone else about your battered Converse.
Well, that is my day to day.
Yeah, but it's not 1997 anymore. You don't look like you're in an indie band. You just look old. You look like you're not earning. Anyway, so you sat there with your terrible shoes on. And this guy, I'll grab his name. Mr. Fox, so you don't get
do you know what I should do? I'll put a photo now of my current trainers that I was wearing this morning. We can put them on the Instagram.
Yes, please send them to me and I'll bang them up.
And people can judge them.
You don't do Instagram, like I have to do it for you, like you're my nan.
I'll be honest, they look like the trainer version of, you know, the shoes in Shawshank Redemption that he puts in the box at the end.
Right, so we'll put them up. So he's had a go, Mr. Fox had a go. Anyway, you're on the train. Rachel, my girlfriend, and I are big fans of the last leg. So they gestured with a nod to indicate something of interest behind her. She took a sly glance. Also, when you say a sly glance, it's never a sly glance. It's the most obvious stare at someone ever when people have a I love when people notice famous people on trains. The sly, people aren't as sly as they think. Have you ever noticed that, Josh?
Yeah.
Very, very obvious. Anyway. She took a sly glance back and looked back at me with a joyous glint in her eye. Is that Josh, she said. I confirmed it was, and she said, should I say hi? Now, being an out-of-towner in the big scary city, I'm well aware of the unwritten rules of the underground. Don't make eye contact with anyone. Don't, under any circumstances, acknowledge, smile, or approach, speak to anyone. And for safety, this includes people you are riding with, especially if it's a celeb of any stature, especially if they have their head in a book, and especially if they also have their headphones in. Now, Josh Rinnicum, this...
Headphones in.
Headphones in and a book out. I mean, the only other thing you could have is VR goggles on.
I just love culture, Rob. I just love culture. I'm music. I've got book. I'm just...
That screams to me, yes, I'm on the tube. Don't even dare fucking talk to me. Headphones in and a book screams I'm not here to communicate, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Right. I can't even read.
And your hearing's not great.
I was listening to an audiobook of the book I was holding. That's the way I do it.
Yeah, just scan along and try and put it all together. See if they've missed a word. Someone must have done that at some point. Oh, we didn't say that there. Anyway, so back to Josh. A household celeb sitting on the tube, minding his own business in his trampy shoes, reading a book whilst listening to some music through his wired-appled earbuds. And my girlfriend wants to say hi. Anyway... So he didn't want to say hello. He felt embarrassed. So he said, at this point, I'd rather have been playing knock and run with Oscar Pistorius, as it would have been safer. So a little bit of a joke about death there. So Mr. Fox, we haven't got his first name. It is very anti his wife, Rachel, having a chat. Anyway, so as she turned and spoke, and bearing in mind that no one speaks in the tube, and she's had to speak slightly louder than normal to make her voice heard over the unknown volume of the music in his ears. Hi, Josh. Oh, no. I just had to take this chance to say how much of a fan we are and how much we loved The Last Leg. And then it happened. Josh slowly lowered his book and closed it without even inserting a bookmark. So you're not reading it, are you, Josh?
Can't read.
He removed his earbuds one at a time, then proceeded to engage in a wonderful conversation with Rach and thanked her for acknowledgement and recognition. I don't know if that was your direct words. Thank you for the acknowledgement and recognition.
Acknowledgement and recognition.
But I think that's what you implied. He was an absolute delight and even posed for the attached photo.
I said, what's this really about?
Anyway, thank you, Josh, for being completely unsalty. I only wish I'd seen you again later in the day, so I pointed out. Pointed you in the direction of the pre-Christmas sale at Soul Trader, where they had 70% off men's shoes.
All right, there's only for the slam at the end.
And it's a very cozy pre-COVID pic. I'll send it to you on the group.
They look very, like, when you ever see anything now that's like pre-COVID, even if you're just watching a TV show, it feels weird.
It seems mad, yeah.
It feels so weird to see.
Yeah, it's mental, isn't it? But yeah, so they loved you. You're a lovely guy.
Oh, well done, very nice. Thank you.
You're not salty at all. That's the answer there.
Let's see.
Yeah, thanks for emailing in. There's so much stuff coming in. We're trying to get through it all, so don't worry if we've not read yours out, responded, but it's getting to the tipping point, Josh, of just, I think I'm swamped.
Yes, but it's in a good way.
Good way. So keep sending it in, because some of it is you know, dreadful, but most of it's great.
We do read them all. Thank you very much. Generally, it's so nice to hear that people are engaged, a little too engaged, but there we go, some people. Thank you very much. We'll be back on Tuesday.
Oh, we've got a banger of an ep.
Who we got?
The one, the only, Peter Crouchy Crouch.
Crouchy.
He's got,
yes, please,
four children.
Peter Crouch, England legend, cannot wait, podcasting legend. See you then.
Bye.